Hello all sentient beings and welcome to the Transmissions Podcast, where we talk all Hasbro, Takara, and third party Transformers! On this endgame episode of Transmissions, we get a good look at a Ghostbuster-themed masterpiece, Optimus Prime. Toy World shows off a World War I Starscream, and new Siege figures are revealed. Today is Wednesday, May 1st, 2019, and this is episode 327 of Transmissions.
Welcome to Transmissions, the podcast that wishes it had a Donatrion for every ticket sold to Avengers Endgame last weekend. I'm your host Charles, a.k.a. Big C, and I'm joined by the excellent Transmissions team. Oh, wait a minute. Something's wrong with my screen. I think this is a typo. Do we have a Yashi with us tonight?
Yeah. Oh, fuck, that hurts when you haven't done it in 4 weeks.
Ouch.
Six.
All right. Yo, everybody.
Hello. Nice to meet you. I don't know how you got on the show, but I guess you can
Dude,
stay for a little while.
The Emerald City TFCon hangover is real.
Jeremy, a.k.a. Yakko.
Hey, how you doing?
And Daryl, the Cybertronian Beast.
Hey, I thought you were going to introduce him as special guest, Yoshi. Let's talk Transformers.
All right, and we're back. We are fully formed once again. All four of us are here. It's good to have everyone back on the show.
You might say that the gauntlet of our podcast is complete.
You might say that if you were a giant nerd, which we all are.
All four Infinity podcasters are collected.
Exactly. As always, we thank that... I guess that's the fifth Infinity podcaster, the Donatrions. You guys make the show happen. Thank you for your support and continuing support. We appreciate
their Infinity Stone is green for money.
Unless they're Canadian, and then who knows what color it is.
Brown for maple.
But we do appreciate all the support on Patreon and PayPal. So you guys keep the lights on and keep us going. And if you are not a supporter already, but you would like to become one, just go to transmissionspodcast.com/support. And that's where you can find the links to donate to the show. Also, if you want to get some Transmission swag, you can visit our store, our online store powered by TeePublic. That's at transmissionspodcast.com/shop. And that's a nice way to support the show and without even committing to becoming a Donatrion. But you still, if you buy some merchandise from us, that still helps us out. And if you buy anything from our TeePublic store, anything from TeePublic through our link, that gives us a kickback too.
Yeah. So if there's some other podcasts that you like, you can buy their stuff, go through our link, and we'll still get a little bit of credit, even though you're cheating on us.
You could also, I think we do have a couple of our friend of the show and Transmissions artist, K-Girl. We have some of her shirts on our store, but you can also go straight to her store at tpublic.com/user/superstarK.
Well done.
It's that time of the month, by which I mean we've got another $10 Toy Hacks code to give away.
Fucking gross.
This is...
I'm extremely immature. I'm sorry.
This is for our April giveaway. I know it is, at this point, it's May 1st and when you're listening to this, but this is for the April code that we're giving away. All of our Donatrions are automatically entered into this contest every month. If you would still like to enter but are not a Donatrion, all you got to do is send an email to contest@transmissionspodcast.com and, put in the subject line, Toy Hacks $10 gift code giveaway for the month of whatever month you're doing it in, and give us a picture of a Transformers toy that you would like to get stickered up with stickers from Toy Hacks. So it's very easy to enter, but if you are a Donatrion, you're automatically entered, so that's nice. And if you're contributing at the $10 or more level, you get two entries for your contribution every month. Without further ado, let's get to picking the lucky winner. We've got Jeremy's good friend and compatriot.
Only friend.
Wow. Pretty really? Sorry, Jeremy. Let's get Alexa to, well, she's not Alexa in Jeremy's house, but we'll get her to pick a random number between 1 and 107.
Computer, give me a random number between 1 and 107.
Your random number between 1 and 107 is 106.
That goes to Robin Hunt.
Oh, awesome.
Robinus Prime. Friend of the show. We just recently, here, there's a birthday present for you. We just recently helped him pick out a birthday present. Now he's getting another present. Congratulations.
Well done.
So we will be in touch, Robin. Congrats on getting that gift code. Hope the shipping is not too bad from Canada to the UK, but hopefully you can still get something nice for that $10.
It's just stickers. Hopefully it won't be too bad.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Before we move on and get into toys, Jeremy, you have an announcement.
Yeah, I am on the Mike Siebert Radio Podcast, episode number 210. Mike he's been on with the Autopod Decepticast guys a few times, and Daryl, Yoshi, and I met him at TFCon Chicago last year. And he's a pretty cool guy, and he asked me to come on talk about Star Wars Celebration. It's like a 2.5-hour podcast, so, you know, if you still have brain cells after sitting through 3 hours worth of Endgame, tune in, listen to us talk about Star Wars for 2.5 hours.
Only if you want to kill all your brain cells.
Nah, it's fun. If you want to get a good idea of what, you know, a big convention like Celebration is like, I go into pretty good detail and talk about the panels, and we go in depth on a few of the things, but it was a lot of fun. Didn't even realize how much time had passed when we were recording it.
Very cool. So check that out. We will have a link in the show notes so you can find it very easily. All right. Well, let's get into the show and start off talking about some toy news.
All right. In toy news this week, I want to talk about a movie figure. This is a third-party figure coming out of Toy World. This is their TW-FS06, their Last Night World War I Starscream cover, Starscream figure. When you get your first look at it, you see the thumbnail. It's a movie-styled Starscream-looking figure, and you're like, okay, well, what's the big deal about it? It's what makes it World War I? Well, it transforms into a World War I three-winged biplane.
A triplane.
Is it a triplane? Yeah, that makes sense. So it is absolutely gorgeous. I've never really been a big fan of the robot mode for Starscream out of the movies, but man, this alt mode, this plane, this is gorgeous. Really. I gotta say, I kind of want this thing just to have sitting on like the shelf, because it's such a good looking triplane. You think, okay, it's got a lot of wings, it's gonna have a really heavy backpack or something, but they do post a picture of the back, and a lot of the stuff ends up really tightly folded up on the backpack. The propeller sits dead center, right in the middle of the back. It does look like he comes with a number of interchangeable heads, so you could go with standard Michael Bay series head. There appears to be two different versions of that, so you could go with movie one, movie two, or it does have a Bumblebee movie head, so you could change it up and give him a newer head, a newer style head.
So you make him Blitzwing.
Yeah, there you go. I think this is a really cool looking figure. Obviously, these are just like color samples, so they're still in the prototype phase. I don't know. What do you guys think of this? This is a really interesting take on the way third parties are starting to go, because we did get this kind of peek into the fact that the Transformers were in, you know, through the movies, they were in the world wars. They were participating. So they're kind of running with that idea and designing some characters, some figures to kind of go with that aesthetic. Yoshi, you've been away for a while, so I'm going to go to you first. What do you think?
First of all, like you, that's my gut reaction. The alt mode on this thing is gorgeous. I like me some triplane action. Tri-wing, triplane, three-winged action. Although, I'm sitting here trying to find what's wrong with this, and the thing I find is that Toy World has given us some heavily Photoshopped images here. I wonder if we had just gotten a straight up picture of this thing on white or black background, if it would look very plasticky or something, because it doesn't look plasticky from these images, but there's a lot of image filtering going on here.
Okay.
But with that said, just what we're presented with, I love the plane mode. I don't like the bot mode, but the plane mode is very gorgeous.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Charles, what are your thoughts on some World War One aesthetics?
I agree. The alt mode looks really cool. I still am not a fan of the movie Starscream design. I mean, I think the original design, they've said he looks like he has the proportions of like a gorilla. And this figure, mm-hmm. it, you know, pretty much keeps in line with that. I mean, I don't like the way the robot mode just looks off to me. And, you know, to quote Yoshi, it's not my Starscream. But yeah, I mean, in terms of engineering and a Transformer design, I think it's very well done. Although I don't really remember the scenes where did they actually show this in the movie? The only thing I remember from The Last Knight is Bumblebee in World War II. I don't remember seeing Starscream in World War I. But
no, they didn't show any of this. This is all just the creators, the artists, kind of taking the idea of Transformers being in World War I, because in The Last Knight they did have that World War One tank guarding Anthony Hopkins' castle, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're showing that Transformers have been on Earth and participating in the wars since World War One. Why not have Starscream in there too? So basically they're going ahead and inputting and thrusting these characters into those scenarios and giving them designs from the era.
Okay, I mean, that's fine. But yeah, not for me. But the alt mode is very cool. So I do think that's and the transformation design looks very well done. But not a fan of movie Starscream.
Okay. The one thing that I do see here that does kind of bother me a bit, but it is kind of in line with the design, is that his hands are really teeny.
Yeah.
And that's just it's just the way that the arms taper down. They likely need him to fold in and be hidden. You know, it would stand out, I guess, if you have him kind of sitting there. Like I said, it wouldn't be the way I would be displaying him, but I'd be displaying him in the airplane mode. Jeremy, what do you think here? Would you be displaying him in robot mode or airplane mode?
No, it would be airplane mode. And it with the stand that they have there, it looks like something that you could like see in like a history professor's office or something.
Oh, yeah.
It's just like, oh, it's just this you know, World War One plane. And secretly he's like, yeah, but you know, I'm a giant Transformers nerd too. So
mm-hmm.
Robot mode, I mean, I like the idea of the other heads. The more G1 looking head, like from the Bumblebee movie, just looks too small for the body.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the Bayverse version of the head is more proportional to the body.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I can't stop seeing this face on his like chest area. It's just, I don't know. I see something like that and it just bugs me. But I do like how they do the legs there. It looks like it's kind of the way they have it bend, kind of like you see some animals have their hind legs. The knee is kind of backwards.
Okay. And
I bet that's to kind of counterbalance the backpack.
Mm. Yeah, I bet.
And I do appreciate, you know, the engineering and stuff in here. And I also, I love the fact that they're taking these and not just, you know, deliberately copying with like new engineering, something we've seen before, and they're giving us something new here. So I do like that.
With regards to the heads, I would probably say that this thing has been in development for a very long time, and that when the Bumblebee movie came out, they thought, okay, well, we can add another head to this just to kind of make it appealing if people wanted to, you know, think that, okay, well, the old regime is dead, but, you know, we can throw this new head on and we can turn him into this mm-hmm. character now. So,
yeah, but it also has to work with the transformation.
Exactly. That's why it's a little smaller. No, that's great. This is a cool figure. You know, for all of those listening, if this is something that you're interested in, let us know what you think of it. If the movie robot mode is a killer, then, you know, that's too bad. But the alt mode seems to be the best part of it out of all four of us. But that's it for me. Jeremy, what do you bring?
I have some images from the newest Figure King magazine. You know, this is the Japanese magazine that occasionally will get things that Hasbro hasn't revealed yet. Most of the stuff we have seen before, you know, Star Convoy, you get some of the Cyberverse figures, which I think has been out here for a while. The Springer in the Siege line. Pretty sure we've seen that, right?
Yeah, he was at Toy Fair.
So I think pretty much everything here we've seen before, but then there's this gray prototype image of, it's called Turtler in Japan, but we know him as Snaptrap. I think, you know, this is our first image here, and then we have another story here where it's just they zoomed in on the image, probably so they could get another story out of the same thing. But this is in the Generation Selects line, and I'm guessing he transforms into kind of a snapping turtle robot. Charles, you said that he's part of the Seacons.
Yep.
My Japanese Transformers stuff is very weak.
Well, he was here too. I mean, the Seacons were later, mm-hmm. like later G1 combiner team.
If it wasn't in the cartoon for, you know, outside of Rebirth, I didn't pay too much attention.
It was in the very next episode, first episode of Headmasters. I have the full Seacon team.
Daryl, what do you think of this then?
I think it looks good.
Is this based off of the Hunger mold?
Is it Hunger again? Okay.
Yeah, that's what they said.
Hunger was supposedly based off of what is it? The aerial bot guy, the middle aerial bot guy. So, I mean,
Silverbolt.
Yeah, him. So I mean, they're getting use out of the skeleton, which is fine by me. This guy looks nothing like Silverbolt. I mean, you probably could find a little bit of similarities between him and Hunger because they're bestial. But I think they look really good. I don't know. I don't know whether I'll get the Seacons. I spent a little bit of... Well, I was talking about it last time on Trips to the Store, how I spent that extra $50 on the set to make Abominus look good, and it's kind of backfired on me. So I'm kind of done with the combiners now. But for the people who love the combiners, this would really kind of finish them off, except for Monstructor. So, yeah. I'm happy for them if they do, you know, if they are able to get them all.
I was just going to mention that Snaptrap is the, yeah, I mean, you guys already talked about it, but he's the Seacon leader. He's the torso. So, of course, yeah, he's a torso combiner wars mold now. So I imagine the other Seacons will, I guess, be remolds of the of all the other Terracons in some shape or form. Yeah, so, I mean, for me, the Seacons, I never had the Seacons as a kid either, but I just remember them because they did feature in Transformers number 47, which was the first Transformers comic I got when I started collecting the series seriously. Like, that was the issue that I first picked up, where I was going to the comic book shop regularly and building the collection. So 47 is kind of my zero point issue. Yeah, my 113, I guess. and the Seacons are heavily featured in that issue. So that just always makes me remember them, even though I never really had an interest in their toys, but oh well. So probably won't be picking this one up either.
Yoshi, how about you? Do you have any love for the Seacons?
You know, I kind of have to echo Charles. 47 was an issue. And this guy looks enough divorced from those designs that I'm probably not going to pick that up.
I mean, this is just gray prototype pictures in a scan that's not really very high res. So we'll see how this progresses. I'm sure.
Probably swimmingly.
Yeah. I mean, I'm wondering the colors and stuff, because from my recollection, the Seacons are, you're getting into the 90s there. So you're getting more of the 90s colors with, you know, the turquoise and stuff. I have one more thing in my toy news this week, and it's not really toy news, but we got a press release from Hasbro about a new More Than Meets the Eye video campaign that they're going to do to celebrate the 35th anniversary of Transformers. They kicked it off with a video with Angela Bassett that was in the Bumblebee movie as Shatter, you know, one of the few good Decepticons we've had in the live action movies. And she talks about how she is More Than Meets the Eye because she's won a Golden Globe She is a graduate of Yale College and Yale University. And they are going to be doing these videos throughout the year from people that have worked on, you know, the animated series, games, comic books. But also they want fans to post to social media, like post videos to social media and use the hashtag more than meets the eye all together, no spaces, obviously. And answer the question, how are you more than meets the eye? You know, what they're saying, whether it's like a hidden talent, hobby, a passion that you have, do a quick thing, how you're more than meets the eye.
A podcast.
And a podcast where you talk about a toy leaks and, you know, no. But yeah, it's just, I think it's something fun, and it'd be interesting to see, you know, what our audience can come up with. I know, you know, we've got some pretty impressive people in the audience. So, you know, see what everyone can come up with, and, you know, we might try to do our own. I don't know. We'll see. But I thought that, you know, this was like a late PR thing that came in, and I wanted to try to make sure we talked about it on the show.
Cool. See if we can come up with something for each of us.
Yeah. Yeah, we talked about before we recorded that, you know, you're more than meets the eye because you still have Toys R Us.
That's true.
And Charles has, like, you know, 10 doctors.
11.
Nah. See? Oh. He lets us know how he meets the eye, so.
So anyway, that's it for my toy stuff this week. Yoshi, what do you have?
Cool. Let's see. We're talking about MP10 Optimus Prime, the Transformers Ghostbusters crossover. And we have these really pretty images of a white Optimus Prime and trailer all decoed out to kind of resemble Ecto-1. You know, I saw this news online when it dropped, and there seems to be a mixed bag of opinions out there, but I kind of think this is a little adorable, especially how they've done Roller as a ghost trap. I don't know that I'm as interested in this as I am in, say, the Ecto-1 Transformer. That's a GameStop exclusive, and GameStop can go fuck themselves. I'll never spend another penny there. Wow, this story turned into some emotional baggage, you guys.
you can pre-order it directly from Hasbro Pulse.
Oh, can I?
Yes.
Oh, fuck. All right. I'll think about that then. But yeah, there's a lot of little details here homaging Ghostbusters, and I don't know that I'm going to go, like I said, go after this as much as I would like the Ecto-1, but I think it's going for $150. Daryl, does this pull at your nostalgia heartstrings enough to try and seek it out?
It does pull. I mean, it looks good. I don't mind the color scheme all that much. It's definitely white. It's very pretty. I like the splatter of slime on the trailer. I think that's really fun. The trap as Roller, I think, is really cool. It's a cool little thing to do. It has no grounding in any media whatsoever. So, mm-hmm. I mean, the Ghostbusters never had a transport truck.
Right.
Right.
Well, we don't know how the comic's going to turn out.
If this is in the comics, then there you go. But yeah, I don't know. I think it's a very cool looking figure, and I mean the Slimer is very cute as well. But it's one of those things that's like, it's not necessary, but it'd be fun to have. Do we have a price on it? Like, how much is this thing?
I read $150.
That's not bad.
No, it's not.
I mean, that's about retail for you know, what you'd expect to pay for an MP10 now.
But I don't think we'd see this in retail. Like, this is going to be a web purchase, don't you think?
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah. Right?
GameStop.
Fuck them. Jesus.
According to the story, the rumor is SDCC exclusive.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Which means that it could be at Fan Expo as well.
Oh, yeah. No, Hasbro's notorious for being like, it's a San Diego exclusive, and then the next day you can get it here, here, and here.
It's a convention exclusive. Meaning, people will say SDCC, which means it's the first convention it will be at, but it's just a convention exclusive. So, I mean, it's cool. It's neat. It's not something I'm going to be after, but it's cool.
Charles, you're a super big fan of Ghostbusters.
I am. I love Transformers, and I love Ghostbusters.
You even forced yourself to like the last Ghostbusters movie, which was commendable.
I didn't force myself. I actually enjoyed it. So people are allowed to enjoy things.
Yeah, people lie, too. Anyways.
I'm not lying. Anyway, this is cool. Although I guess for me, the Optimus Prime in Ghostbusters colors, it's a novelty, but it's not something I'd be willing to spend $150 on. The only thing that I really want is the roller ghost trap.
Yeah.
That's the thing that looks really cool to me.
With the Slimer that can ride it.
Yeah.
If I read it correctly, the ghost trap part on roller pops off and you can put the original drone part on.
Oh, interesting. That's cool.
But the trap doesn't open though, right? I read that as well.
Yeah.
That's too bad.
Yeah, that's fine though. It still looks cool.
Mm-hmm.
I do like the Ecto 35 license plate in Prime's chest. That's a weird replacement for the Matrix, but okay.
Yeah, and why is it visible through the windshield? Like, put it underneath that then, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. That's just a picky thing from me.
If I remember correctly, doesn't that plate pop down and the Matrix is behind that?
Yeah.
There's two plates in MB10.
Yeah.
Right? So that's the one that you can see underneath the chest. Or underneath the windows is like the first one, kind of like the cover chest. But then you lift that up and there's an additional one underneath it that you have to lift up. And then the Matrix is there.
So the Matrix can still be there.
It could still be there, yeah. Actually, I wouldn't doubt it that it is because it requires no packaging. You just put it in there.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so this is neat, but I just want the roller. And I guess I probably can't buy that separately.
All right, Jeremy, do you want a $150 roller?
Not really. I mean, I like this, but I have an MP10.
Do you want to buy this for $150 and sell the roller to Charles for $100?
I could get behind that.
That's not going to happen.
I can guarantee you're going to see some rollers on eBay.
Oh, yeah.
One thing I really like about this is the color of his helmet. I really like that shade of kind of a grayish blue. It would be neat to see them use that in just like a regular, you know, Optimus colors, maybe more muted. It's just, I don't know. It's a really pleasant color in
my
mind.
It's like 86 movie Dead Prime head.
Yeah, kind of. So maybe if they just did a grayscale Prime. Another thing I noticed about this that I haven't really seen anyone talking about is the box itself seems to be a proton pack. And it looks like there's straps that are tied to the box. So I'm wondering if... You know, you could just wear it and then someone just, you know, pickpocket this toy right out of it as you're walking through the convention. So, I mean, if you look at the back of it, it looks like a proton pack.
Yeah.
In the front where the window is, you have the straps.
You'd have to be a pretty skilled pickpocket to get that toy out without anyone noticing.
But you just have to get the toy out and run. I don't know. No one's going to use that at the show. It's a really neat idea. I like the crossover stuff they're doing. I mean, the Ecto-1 is obviously, you know, the premiere of the crossover stuff, but, you know, they make these MP10 variants, you know, seems to be super easy for them to do, so why not?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Charles, why don't you bring us home, sir?
Okay, well, I have some newly announced figures for the War for Cybertron Siege line. Sadly, these are all repaints of existing figures that we know about, so not too much new here, but there are some interesting things. First, we have the Greenlight character, which is a repaint of that Moonracer figure from the Power of the Primes line. We talked about this a while ago when they had images leaked for that figure, but this is just another more confirmation that it's coming. We also have a Skywarp, which of course is just a repaint of Starscream. No surprises there. But you know, it's just a black and purple colored Tetrajet. And, then the other two figures, which are more surprising to me, at least, first a G2 Sideswipe. So just a Sideswipe figure colored black and red. No snarling head sculpt, unfortunately. It's just the same head sculpt in a different set of colors, which is a little bit disappointing. And then the other figure is a repaint of Flywheels, or Skytrid, as he is called now. But it is Slam Dance. So it's Autobot Slam Dance, which you might remember is the two tapes, the latter-day Autobot tapes that were Grand Slam and Rain Dance. One turned into a plane, one turned into a tank. And then they combined to form a robot that was called Slam Dance. So they've taken that idea and just, you know, said, hey, Flywheels is a plane and a tank that combine into a robot as a Duocon. So let's just make a Duobot. So that's what they did. And so it's a blue and red colored Flywheels with an Autobot symbol.
The colors are wrong.
Oh, I didn't realize that. Okay.
Yeah, I don't know why. I'm sure there's a reason why they did it, but on the original Flywheels, the legs are blue and the torso's red. But it's also the other way around as well. So, I mean, the jet is blue, but the tank is red, but they're switched around. So it's the tank is what makes up the torso, and the legs are what make up the jet is what makes up the legs. So that's likely why they did it. They're keeping the components the same colors, but the robot looks odd.
Well, I mean, it's already odd that you're taking Flywheels and turning them into, Grand Slam. That's already weird.
Yeah. I mean, you would think since they are having tapes come out, they would have planned for these tape combiners later on in a future line.
Well, I think it's just, I think this is, I guess, more evidence of some of the cost-cutting measures at Hasbro. Just, you've got an existing mold. If you squint, it kind of can fit into this other character design, and you just, do what you can, I guess. So, but yeah, Daryl, what do you think of all these repaints? Anything here jumping out at you? Or I guess I should also mention there are some repaints of the Weaponizer figures, the little Target Master guys, but we don't have any names for those, so they're just different colored weapons now.
Well, the Skywarp we should have all seen coming. So I mean, now that we see him, we should fully be expecting a Thundercracker. We did know about Moonracer, Greenlight. So that's coming. And
Greenlight made an appearance in the comic that we reviewed this week.
We've got that. G2 Sideswipe, I mean, we should have seen coming, honestly. It's just a repaint of what they've already done. But the Slam Dance is just, I'd have thrown a new name on it, called him something different, or like Dance Slam. He's just backwards, but yeah, it's they're fine. None of them really appeal to me. I mean, I might pick up the Greenlight because I seemingly have been getting all of the mold variations of this, so I might go ahead and grab that. But yeah, other than that, it's nothing overly exciting. I'd like to see an add-on kit for the G2 Sideswipe that just like bulks the hell out of them. And, gives them insane amount of guns. Obviously,
A bandolier.
Definitely a bandolier. Yeah, for sure. And with the little peg on his chest, you could totally do it. But, I mean, obviously, with, like, figures like Cog and Six Gun, you could make them really, like, really heavily gunned up, but it doesn't look the same as what it would do in the G2 comic. I just want, like, big freaking guns on them. But, yeah, they're fine.
A snarling head with that sneer.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. Yoshi, any thoughts on these guys?
I like Greenlight the best. And the other guys are just, we talked about this originally. The other guys are just hyper-detailed or trying to show wear and tear, which I find to be a huge turnoff. It's like buying jeans that have already got holes in them. I don't need my toys pre-played with or looking like they're pre-played with. But I think it's the color scheme of Greenlight I like more than anything, not so much the actual toy. Yeah, that's it.
Fair enough. Yeah, I am not a fan of the battle damage and mud. I mean, especially it looks really bad on Skywarp in these pictures here. But yeah, Jeremy, what are your thoughts on these guys?
Well, I think the colors on Skywarp outside of the splash damage stuff looks great. The grays and the purples and the blacks and stuff. It just the colors really work. I just wish we would get a version that was clean. I echo everything Daryl said on the sideswipe. You know, we need a new head. We need add-on kits to add all of the G2 weapons. On Greenlight, I think, Yoshi, I think what might be attracting you to her is the design really makes, like in robot mode, it really makes me look like she stepped off of the animation page. Very rounded, and the colors and everything just makes me think of the 80s animation.
Bot mode definitely invokes that. I don't know that alt mode does, but bot mode definitely invokes that. Minus the sword of fire.
Right. Yeah. Alt mode, the car, I mean, I've never liked that car mode in any of the other reuses of the mold, but it's a way to get this new character. And I think the bot mode, you know, like we've seen with the other ones, it's fine, but, you know, the colors are really nice, like you said.
Yeah.
And she does make a brief appearance in issue 4 of the new series. So
spoilers.
Well, this episode.
No, you
out.
Fucked up the story now, Jeremy. Damn it!
This episode comes out after the embargo, and it's just one panel. People have done worse. One last thing I'd like to comment on these though is the alt mode for sideswipe just looks so nice. Just where we kind of said that the original one was more of, you know, an earth mode car. This one, I don't know, the black and the red and the translucent, you know, windshield they put on there, it really does look more futuristic. I'd like to see someone mod it into kind of a futuristic kit. Just has that look to me. So that's all my thoughts, I think.
All right. Yeah. I mean, I agree with you, Jeremy. A kit based on this mold would look pretty cool. All right, well, that's my toy. So that finishes up the toy topics, and we'll move on to trips to the store. This is where we show off all the awesome Transformer stuff we got this week. We do this as a video on YouTube, where you can see all our toys and stuff we got in beautiful high definition. But we'll also put the audio right here in the podcast so you can keep listening, and we will try to describe all our purchases in loving detail. So without further ado, trips to the store. All right, well, let's talk about some of the things we got. I'm going to go first because I don't really have a lot of stuff. I did want to show Yoshi all the things I got here. I've been these...
Damn!
I know Yoshi doesn't watch the show when he's not on, so I just wanted to see. I have been displaying all the postcards you've been sending
me. As a matter of fact, I've only been watching Trips to the Store because I wanted to make sure you were getting all of them.
And we got a new one this week. This is this is not a Transformer. This is Mask. This is Matt Tracker from Mask. The art is by Josh Burcham, which is always very cool. Thanks, Josh, for that awesome art. But the postcard is, I believe, from our good friend Casey Collar, well-known Transformers artist Casey Collar. As always, I believe Yoshi held a gun to his head and made him write this on the postcard. I tried to donate to the show, but I couldn't find the donator button from Casey.
I didn't have to convince anybody to do this. You have to understand. All I did was provide postcards.
Did you provide the stamp?
What I'm disappointed in, Yoshi, is you could have... So first of all, there will never be a donator button because that's not a verb. You donate to the show. You don't...
You don't do the website. There could be a donator button.
But you don't do that. You could have just asked these people to donate and actually gotten this money for the show. How about that?
Here's the thing, Charles. It's that moment right there why I went through all that fucking effort.
I'm sorry. I don't believe you. That's all.
Okay.
That's all I got this week.
Yoshi, did you provide the stamps too?
Yeah. No, I wasn't going to leave that to them. They use their own precious ink to do their little doodles or write the things. Like, in fact, Alex contributed the least amount. I had to write it out and he signed it.
Well, job well done, Yoshi.
are the only person in this group that I sent original art to. Thank you is what I'm looking for. You ungrateful, thin bastard.
You're welcome.
Go get him. Get him.
All right, Daryl, you're enjoying yourself too much. So show us what you got.
Oh, okay. Well, show's over for me. I was in my comic book store and stumbled upon this guy. Honestly, didn't expect to see him up here in Canada for a while, but the comic store had him because they get their stuff directly from Diamond. This is Studio Series Scrap Metal. This is another part of Devastator, and I guess since I'm going to be doing this now, I picked him up. So, yeah, there he is. He is he's just a construction vehicle. Backhoe, I think is what it's called. So, yeah, he's nothing much to him, but he's a part of Devastator. So, I guess I'm doing this big bastard now. What do you know? I think the next two aren't coming out for like a year or something like that. So I've got a while to wait. So the first phase of these are over and I can sit back and relax until the next ones start coming out. But that's it. That's all I got.
Were you forced to collect the movie Devastator?
No, but it's I don't know. It's something that I've kind of wanted to have a movie Devastator and I never got around to having one. And then the official big one that really originally came out was really kind of shitty in its component parts. Then there was a little one that I was like, okay, I'll get the little one, but it was kind of crappy too. It was way better than the big one. And then this one is a legit combiner with an alt mode and a bot mode and then a combined mode too. So it's probably the best of all the versions. So that's why I figured I'd get the best of the best.
It's the Goldilocks of movie Devastators.
Yeah. Nothing but the best for me.
All right. Well, good luck. We look forward to, I guess, are there six, I get total? So I guess four more.
Mm-hmm.
Have fun. All right. Jeremy, what do you got?
I have something. I've been eyeing this at my comic store for a few months now. And I wasn't able to justify to myself the $35 price tag.
So you stole it?
No. But so I noticed on my receipt, I didn't realize they were doing this thing where you like build up points and then like I had enough to get $25 off something. So I'm like, that makes it worth it. And then with Free Comic Book Day coming up, I figure this is something that maybe someone that's not a regular in the store would see and pick up. So I wanted to grab it. And it is the package art portfolio.
Yeah.
So it's really nice. It's got they're all in a pocket here. I've pulled them out to make it easy for the show. But it is just big prints of the G1 package art. You have Optimus, Megatron. There's 10 of these. Minibots, Huffer, Windcharger, and Bumblebee. You got the Seekers.
Very nice.
Cool.
I'm just going to run through them all because there's only 10. If they don't slide everywhere. Jazz. And I am planning on getting some of these framed. It definitely looks a lot better than the Hobby Lobby thing I have in the back. You got the Wave Brothers, Shockwave and Soundwave. Grimlock. I don't know what made them choose like some of these, like Blitzwing. Maybe it's just the art they had on hand.
Because he was in the movie. The colors match.
Well, no, like, well, I guess. But and then these are the last two are the best. The half of the 84 box art with, like, the Autobot side. And then you have the 90s Action Masters art. Hmm. So two of the classic battle scenes.
Is that the last year they had artwork for it?
I'm not sure.
That'd be a nice bookend. You had the first year and the last year.
Yeah, possibly. It's a very nice set, and, you know, a very large hardback, nice, solid, protective book. You know, I'm happy that I finally got this. And not bad for like $15.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I got.
Cool. All right, Yoshi, you've been away for a while, so I expect you to have like,
Dude, tons of toys. I have so little to show for it. So little to show for it. In fact, all the Transformers stuff I have to show is from Emerald City, and it's three sketch covers.
Okay.
First up is an Ant-Man sketch cover from Randy Emberlin, who has uncredited work on G2. And we have Ant-Man busting through the eyepiece of Megatron there.
Oh, that's cool.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
Classic Transformers 13 homage.
Yep, it is.
Very nice.
Next is from Brian Shear. There is a G.I. Joe Transformers G2 cover where Megatron is holding...
Cobra Commander.
Cobra Commander, thank you. So I wanted the opposite of that. I wanted Optimus Prime holding Hawk.
Oh, nice.
And I was not expecting this to be colored. I sent Brian this sketch cover to work on from his home so he could bring it prepared. And the night before the convention, he posted a YouTube video that the hotel he was staying at took his food money, $500, in case there was an incidental issue in his room. Which is something I've noticed hotels doing very recently. I find it very weird. So he's like, unless I get a commission on my first day, I'm not eating.
Did he didn't, I guess he didn't pay with a credit card? Like, why are they?
He did.
But why are they putting a charge? Like, it's supposed to be like a hold. You're not supposed to actually charge until they actually, until you check out.
Well, they held, as I guess he was just going on credit cards. So he, they put a hold on that. He couldn't spend it, but that was his budget for food.
That sucks.
Yeah, so he put out a video saying, yeah, I hope I get a commission on day one, otherwise I'm not eating. So, son of a bitch, I asked him to do Mirage for me. It's just a blank. the secret to that is I gave him some invisible ink to draw Mirage, and you need a black light to see it. It doesn't work on camera. I've tried. But Mirage is there. If you've got a black light, which is kind of fucking cool.
That's really cool. Can you take a photo of it and like post it on Instagram or something?
You know what? I can try. Mm. Yeah. I'll give Jeremy a link to put it with the video.
Give it to Daryl.
To put it with the video. He said his eyes were killing him because he had to hold the black light while he was drawing. I'm like, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do that to you. I just had this idea at the spur of the moment, and I thought you could benefit from it. And he said, thanks.
You should have just bought him lunch.
Aside from... Yeah, I probably should have. No, he's got to earn it, goddammit. But aside from that and some signatures, that was all I got Transformers-wise.
All right. We know you got a bunch of signatures at TFCon LA.
Mm.
Do you have your... Where's your comic with all the signatures?
So I went there with the comic that you guys know very well because I don't talk about anything else ever when we go to a convention. There was no room on the front cover of this book to get any more signatures. So the 20 plus signatures I got went on the first three pages of the book. I'm not going to open that and display it here, but now the signatures have gone to the internal pages. And if you want to see it, I had Brendan Cahill do a piece, but it's not Transformers related.
Do you have it handy? We like Brendan Cahill.
I'm not saying you don't like him. I'm just saying it's not Transformers. So this is on a Zorro blank.
That's cool.
I was really happy the way this turned out. His fucking bats, man, are sick. They are just really detailed.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Now I see my reflection.
Yeah. You stole my bag, Yoshi.
Your bag?
From this.
Oh.
Third Sergio bought it, and he said you stole the bag, the Make Toys bag.
I don't. If I did, I've probably lost it. I really don't remember doing
you
that.
You don't even remember. It's even worse now.
Okay.
Well, what's special about this bag, Daryl?
Fuck, Daryl.
I don't know. Nothing really. It was a reusable bag, I guess. I don't know. I got plenty of those.
Maybe they'll have them at Toronto.
Probably. I was just stirring some shit.
All right. Well, that's all for trips to the store. All right. We're back from our trips to the store, and let's move on to convention news.
All right. Just one thing this week in convention news. Takara Tomy has announced that they will be attending the Shizuka Hobby Show 2019. This is May 11th through May 12th in Shizuka, Japan. That's all the information we have, but I'm sure we will have pictures and stuff from the show after it happens. So if you are in Japan listening to this, you know, send us some pictures. But that's it for convention news.
All right, and we will finish up the show with some feedback.
Thanks, Charles. And if you want to leave us some feedback, head on over to transmissionspodcast.com/feedback. There you can leave us a voicemail. So we'll go to Twitter, where Dinobot Maximize was kind enough to alert us to a tweet from Andrew Isaacs. And Andrew has been working on a personal project where he has created or remastered the G1 Transformers 1987 catalogs. That is freaking cool. I haven't had a whole lot of time to dig into this. Charles, is there a whole lot to this, or did he just do the one image I see?
There's two images. There's the Autobots and the Decepticons, and it's basically taking third-party and modern Hasbro toys to replace the G1 counterparts.
That's awesome.
I can only see one character that's missing, and it's the Target Master Sure Shot. Doesn't appear to have any new representation. But yeah, he did a really good job here.
That's really cool. That is really cool. I want to thank Andrew for busting his butt to create this and for Dinobot for alerting us to this. It's really awesome. Thanks, guys.
Mm-hmm.
Next, we're going to head on over to Discord, where we got some feedback, some clarification from True Dead Man and DJ Ronan about Mass Toys crowdfunding debacle.
Yes. So I just wanted to mention, because we talked about this last week, we had some confusion about whether or not the people who crowdfunded actually lost money or whether they had just pledged and hadn't actually paid yet. So that's what this is referring to.
So True Dead Man said, just some feedback based on what was discussed on Wednesday's episode of the show in regards to Mass Toys and the crowdfunding. I participated in and did pay $99 up front for the figure. Big C said the site said pay on delivery, but I did pay in advance. I don't remember if it was one of those you can pay now or pay later options. DJ Ronan chimed in and said they misread my message, as I too paid into it. I am currently in PayPal copy-paste hell in trying to get my monies back. Well, shit, DJ, if you pull that off, you'll be the first person I know who's gotten their money back from a crowdfunding project. Personally, let me know what happens with that. I'd be interested to know if you pull that off.
Yeah, really sucks. And that's yeah. I mean, we were worried about that from the start when we talked about that. Because
mm-hmm.
they weren't going through like Kickstarter or Indiegogo. They're just doing it themselves.
Right.
Yeah. I bumped into DJ Ronan at the comic book store, and he was saying it's not a really great thing. He's not overly hopeful, but he's still having conversations with PayPal, although what he means by copy-paste hell is that essentially he sends an email and they send him a canned response, to which he replies, "No, I've sent you this information. Please, you know, help me get my money back." And they're like, "Well, we're sorry to hear that you've, you know, experienced this, you know, unfortunate incident. Please look at our FAQ or our some whatever and see if
it's like starting the process over again."
Yeah. And he's like, no, I've done this. We've talked about this. I've sent you this information. Give me my money back." So, yeah. So he's not overly happy about it. And it's,
no, I wouldn't be either. But I've never heard of anybody getting their money back from any crowdfunding failed campaign.
Mm-hmm.
So It doesn't mean it hasn't happened, but if you pull it off, I'd be super interested to hear about it.
And that's why I prefer the Kickstarter, where you don't pay unless it funds.
No. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, you pay unless it funds, but if it doesn't, it still may not come to fruition.
But yeah, even then, yeah, I've supported ones where I never got the rewards I was supposed to get.
All right. Well, it'll be interesting to see what happens. And that's it for feedback, everybody. One more time, if you want to give us feedback, head on over to transmissionspodcast.com/feedback and leave us a voicemail, because we're pushing that this week. Charles?
All right. Well, that'll do it for this episode of Transmissions. Thanks, everyone, for listening, and we will see you next time. Bye-bye.
Night-night.
Bye.
Later.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for listening to this episode of Transmissions. But just because this episode is over doesn't mean the Transformers fun has to stop. Join us and other Transformers fans on our Discord chat server by visiting transmissionspodcast.com/discord. If you would like to learn more about how you could support the Transmissions Podcast, just visit transmissionspodcast.com/support. Thank you all for listening, and we'll see you again next week.
Are you recording on the right mic in Audacity?
Yes, I am. I am. I am. And when I speak up like that, it shows up bigger on the, waveforms.
Then maybe keep doing that.
Okay.
I guess we'll get started.
Mm.
There's that energy and enthusiasm we're looking for. Welcome to Transmission.
Oh, half show's gone.
God damn it. Daryl, are you wearing the same shirt as Charles?
We are.
Twinsies.
Yay.
Same shirt, both of you no pants on. This is fucked.
We're twins down there, too.
God.
Not quite.
How the fuck do either of you know?
They have a pre-show call.
Jeremy, we ask ourselves every week why you always have audio problems.
It's been perfectly fine for every week you're not here.
Yep. Oh, is that true? Because I'm calling bullshit right now. There's enough room on that chair now, Charles. You've lost so much weight that I could come snuggle with you and we could go both do some nanites.
Do some what?
Sleep. We could go to sleep.
Oh, okay.
Go to night-night after you've gone to potty. Make a tinkle.
I'm down to 190.
No, damn. You're not.
Yeah.
You officially weigh less than me.
Me too.
Look at that. Look at that egotistical big ass smile on his
face. God damn, man. A shadow of your former self. As I shovel frickin' glossette raisins in my mouth.
You know, 190 is at the point where your wife can go around and hug you from behind and touch her own goddamn elbows.
You lose any more weight, and you're gonna have you won't have such a big penis anymore.
No, the weight the weight doesn't go from there. That's all muscle.
You're gonna lose your girth.
All right, we're live.
Oh. I don't think you know how that works.
We've been live. All right, I'm gonna hang everyone up. Back to Discord.
Don't you do it? Don't you do? You did it.
I did do it.
Don't know what you said. I hope it was a funny joke.
It was good. You should have been there.